Welcome to Series 3 of Diary She Wrote. I'm Liz Beardsell, a diarist and creator of this podcast. I have religiously handwritten a diary every day of my life since I was 12. And on the 18th of May, 2021, I wrote my 10,000th diary entry. In Series 3, I share more stories straight from my diaries, looking at modern dating, the love of friendship, the safety of women. I talk about my university experience, the benefits of therapy, and you'll hear an update on Dexter Turner. If you are new to Diary She Wrote, the podcast is made up of three series in total, each with 8 episodes with overlapping storylines and characters running throughout. So I'd really encourage you to start listening from Series 1, Episode 1, Dexter Turner, where the story begins. Otherwise, it's like picking up a book and starting in the middle. If you're enjoying the podcast and want to follow me online, I'm mainly on Instagram at Diary She Wrote. All names and some factual details have been changed to protect people's identity. This episode contains sexual content and language listeners may find offensive. Episode 17, Legs and Vaginas. In this episode, I share another modern dating story, looking at the excitement of meeting someone new, the confusion that comes with those first few dates, breaking down messages, interpreting gestures, and trying to remember that we all communicate in very different ways. Friday the 6th of July, 2018. Everyone was watching Childish Gambino's music video, This Is America. The Republic of Ireland had just voted overwhelmingly to overturn the abortion ban by 66.4% to 33.6%. And England will soon reach the World Cup semi-finals, but lose out to Croatia 2-1 in extra time. I am 36, loving my job, living in Hackney, and today is the first date with a musician who I met on a dance floor. Me and Reggie were meeting in Springfield Park, but he didn't specify where in the park, and I didn't ask because I already had too many other questions about what to bring. Should I bring a picnic blanket, wine and cups, or is that too prepared for a first date? Should I just bring my own gin and tonics and no rug? But I like to sit on a rug. Luckily, later he asked if I liked beer or wine, so that allowed me to say wine and I told him I'd bring the cups. So then it was okay for me to take a blanket and not look too prepared. I arrived first, and then I saw him walk in the same entrance. He asked where I wanted to sit, and I sat on a green patch of grass, which was a bit daft as it's been so hot, there is no green grass left. We settled on a yellow hilltop. Conversation was easy, and there were only a few occasions where I felt a bit stupid and didn't know how to contribute, pollution being one topic. He pointed out all the different birds, commented on the sunset, and spoke about his music. He no longer performs, mainly works with film and TV on soundtracks. I couldn't tell if he liked me, as he was sitting quite far away. I just wanted to jump on top of him and straddle him and kiss him. I started to need the loo, so we walked along the canal together to the Princess of Wales and sat outside, where he spoke about his family. And he told me he cheated on his ex, which was a red flag I chose to ignore. It started to get cold, and I thought we'd say bye and head home, but he suggested one more at the pub. And in there, we had that moment of smiles with extended eye contact, looking down at the lips for what felt like 30 seconds where I was thinking, do you want to kiss me? Just kiss me. And then he did, and thank God it was a soft, tender kiss, more lips than tongue, really good where you just get lost in the moment and your body starts to react. We kissed on and off for 15 minutes whilst we finished our drinks, and then he bought himself a burger and bought me some chips and we walked back to his. We sat on his lounge sofa and he put on some arty film whilst we ate. And then pretty quickly, we started kissing and it got hot and sexy and my earrings fell out and I was thinking I can't lose another back of an earring. He paid a lot of attention to my armpits and then feet and then did this thing with my toes, which was a turn on. As I straddled him, my dress straps came down, so he kissed my boobs, but not for long. There was one point where he said, should we go back to yours? I think because I live alone, but Grace had said, do not have sex with him. So I shook my head and kind of got dressed again. But we did more kissing and he was feeling my bum and fingering me a little. His kissing got more intense and a bit claustrophobic, and then the teeth kind of got in the way, but he said I like teeth locking. It's when you push your teeth against each other really hard and breathe heavily through the gaps. He told me to keep still as he demonstrated what he meant, and I enjoyed it. It got to 3 a.m. and I thought I should go, so I put my earrings back in and asked if he wanted to hang out again, and he was like, fuck yes, we should go for dinner. Actually, I'll cook for you. Which I loved hearing. If they want to cook for you, that's a good sign. We kissed more on his doorstep and I headed home. A great first date, one of my best. Sunday the 7th of July. Masturbated whilst thinking about Reggie, watered my plants, cut my front garden bush and had lunch at Cafe Miami. He messaged around 10:30 to say thanks for last night, looking forward to next week, and I sent a similar message back. I went to meet Paige, Chloe and John in the Westbourne pub to watch the World Cup and we bloody beat Sweden 2-0. We're in the semi-finals. Wednesday the 11th of July. I don't want my insecurities about not being as intelligent as others to get in the way of getting to know Reggie. I'm starting to go down the route of thinking he only likes me because he finds me attractive. I must remember I have a lot to give too. I spoke to Flossie about him, and she actually knows him. She was so excited and really complimentary about him and said we kind of look similar. It was stressful picking where to watch the World Cup. We ended up at Giant Steps, and then it was so intense watching it after Croatia equalised. So sad to have lost. I thought we'd go through. We did so well. Thursday the 12th of July. The day of mine and Reggie's second date. I woke up excited and waiting for a text to say what time he wanted me to head over for dinner, but at midday I gave in and messaged asking if he was still on for tonight. He replied saying I've had a manic week, sorry for the late notice, but I feel zonked and I'd be rotten company. Can we rearrange for another evening? I felt flat and sad and tried not to, but it's so hard and I know I shouldn't put so much thought into it, but it just happens naturally. The hope and the possibility is always so exciting, and now I wish I could control the doubt that is setting from his cancellation. We have rebooked for Tuesday. I told him he's going in the paper diary, and he said, ha, pencil. And I replied, always, you have to be prepared for a cancellation. After 15 minutes of crying, I put on some happy music and went for dinner by myself to Jim's Cafe. I left my phone at home and read my book for an hour, which was a nice experience. Tuesday, the 17th of July. It's the day of mine and Reggie's rescheduled second date. I got through most of the day not thinking about why Reggie hadn't texted, but it got to 6 p.m. and then I was pissed off, so I said, what are you saying about tonight? And after an hour, still no reply, and I was like, what the fuck? You had said you'd cook for me, so I have no food and now I need to go and get food. I messaged Grace to say I'd take it all back about him being a mature 40-year-old. And as I was updating her, he bloody messaged to say, fancy a pint in the Elderfield? I shouted, oh my God, at my phone. It was almost 8 p.m. It is not okay to make a second date plan at 8 p.m. on the day of the date. I rang Grace and she was like, you need to let him know in a friendly way that it's not okay to do that. And I felt out of respect to myself it was the right thing to do. So I drafted a message saying, I didn't hear from you, so I've bought food and I'm making dinner right now. How are you set for the weekend? But I wondered if I was coming across as moody. I tried to redraft it, but it felt false, like I was playing a game. So I rang Beth and asked for her advice too, and she was like, he's just a boy. He's not thought it through. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Let it go. And we agreed it would be better to try and explain my frustrations to him in person rather than on text. So I replied and said, I'm just eating. Can we meet at 9:30? And he said, yeah, knock on. I cooked, ate, got ready, felt better and went over. We had a missed kiss on the lips, and I stood in the house corridor making small chat with his housemates whilst he brushed his hair, went to the loo, and then we walked to the pub together. He apologised for talking crap or babbling lots last time. We got settled and chatted about his music and his stressful week. He was telling me about something in his Instagram account, but didn't show me, as he'd left his phone at home, which says a lot about his communication. He would say stuff about the future, like, we're having a house party in September, you have to come, and suggesting that I should come and see his music studio. He'd ask me about my garden plants, which I knew nothing about, and he would laugh, but in a way that feels less like he finds me stupid and more endearing. I love it when he really laughs. He really goes for it. His whole body moves. It's quite infectious. The table behind me were getting more crammed with people and squashing me, which he noticed and looked concerned, so suggested we move seats, which was nice. We ended up on a sofa, and I chatted about my diary and how I might do a podcast, and he told me that he had a podcast and I could test it out on there, which scared the shit out of me, but it's also an ideal testing ground. We walked back via mine and stopped outside. He was telling me a story and then went in for a kiss out of nowhere, and I asked, how did that chat segue into a kiss? He said, I was thinking, I just want to kiss her, stop talking. I said, see you Saturday. Please can you not be so last minute? And he apologised and said, sorry, I should have texted you in the morning. And I said, I like to plan. And he said, I can see that. Wednesday the 18th of July. Came home, cooked dinner, tidied the garden, cleaned the kitchen bin, hung out the washing, paid Paula. I did a lot. I'm not overly thinking about Reggie. It's a good balance of thoughts and no obsessing. I think I felt more positive about Jack, But it could grow, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm excited to see him and maybe have sex on Saturday. I keep imagining inviting him in for daytime sober sex, but I'm not sure how I'd feel about him then leaving for his evening plans. You'd normally have sex at night and therefore get to fall asleep and wake up together, the best bit. Friday, the 20th of July. Reggie messaged at 5:30 asking if I was still on for tomorrow. Much better notice from him. We agreed I would knock on at 11 for a potential walk in the rain. Saturday, the 21st of July. Our third date. I can't remember if I said, but after our first date, when he asked me what my favourite butterfly was, I now feel like I'm seeing them everywhere. On Instagram, t-shirts, paintings, in real life, newspapers, and they always remind me of him. Anyway, I knocked on at 11 a.m. and he wasn't quite ready. After the last date, I was ready to kiss him on the lips, as that was how he greeted me last time, but I was still mid-saying, hi, how are you, so it was all a bit teethy from my side. I awkwardly hung half in his hallway, half in the lounge, looking at the curiosity shelf and flicking through books on the 1970s. And then he appeared and we set off. The journey was a bit up and down for me, and I was thinking, shit, how will I spend a whole day with him, especially with no alcohol on the agenda? Have I jumped to a sober daytime date too quickly? It was nice to hear more of his stories, and then he complimented a window display with butterflies. I let him know they reminded me of him. He didn't ask why, he just laughed. We walked over to Hyde Park to see the huge Christo barrel exhibition on the Serpentine, which was epic. We hired a pedalo and pedalled out to it. Luckily he let me steer, which must have helped me relax and feel more in control, and I started to enjoy myself. We walked over to a nearby cafe, and he brought us a glass of wine, and we sat on a bench, drank and chatted. It was actually a perfect London afternoon, so different to my norm. We spoke about what he finds attractive, not boobs, which I thought was the case after our first date. He likes legs and vaginas. We found a Persian place for dinner, had another wine and chatted for a few hours. I think we spent from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. together, and then at the end of the date, we just had a couple of kisses on the lips as we said bye. Tuesday, the 24th of July, is the day of our fourth date. I was looking forward to seeing Reggie all day. I had my gym session with Faith, which ran over, so then I felt a bit stressed getting ready in time. I managed to empty my bowels, shower and then get ready in 30 minutes, and I knocked on at 9:15. We had a kiss at the door and he invited me into the kitchen, where he'd started to serve up an amazing Caribbean dinner. Prawn curry, pineapple salsa, red rice and salad, and all served on his special plates. I'd bought wine, but he was searching for a bottle opener and asking if I wanted candles, so it took him about 10 minutes to finish setting the atmosphere and for us to both be in the same place and relax. We spoke about the party he went to on Saturday after our date and how he'd stayed up all night, gone for a run at 6 a.m. and then sat in the park all day Sunday and had some nasty bites which had inflamed his arm. After we'd eaten, he was like, "Oh, we should see if we can spot the bats." We sat in his garden and saw a couple of silhouettes against the night sky. And then we did some more stargazing, chatted and listened to the foxes having sex, and he told me about their sharp penises. It was a lovely spot to sit out and felt much more wild than my garden. He smelt hot and I wanted to kiss him outside, but there wasn't the right opportunity. I went to the loo and when I came back, I poured out the last of the wine and we started kissing by the kitchen table. And he was lifting my dress and putting my knickers up my bum and I undid his trousers and wanted to take his top off. It was all getting a bit heavy, so I said, "As much as I get off on the idea of getting caught, maybe we should go to your room?" His room was nice, lots of collectibles on display, clothes and thousands of records. I scanned his clothes and in my head I was like, yes, I love this look. We got naked and I asked, "Do you have a condom?" He didn't. In this whole house, no condom. I was like, "What the fuck? You are 40 years old, you fucking idiot." And like all boys, he was like, "I don't like them." I said I wanted to get sweaty with him, and I really did. I wanted to get so close and sweaty. We still had a great time. He kept my knickers on for a bit and moved them to the side and then went down on me with his moustache tickling me. It all felt kind of 70s and hot. I asked if he liked knickers on, and he was like, "I like them on, off, I don't care." He had a lovely toned body considering he doesn't do a lot of exercise. Nice arms, back and torso. He didn't seem to expect much from me. He was happy to keep going down on me and finish me off, which was good as I felt I'd earned it after a shit communication. We do lots of teeth locking and heavy breathing and he's quite attentive and will kiss me all over and again, surprisingly, the armpit was a real turn on and the belly button, the bikini line and the feet. At one point, he said he wanted me to stamp on his face. I laughed to fill time whilst I figured out what I thought of this suggestion and was like, "Okay, we can work up to that." But then as he went down on me, I started to put my feet on his face and push him out the way, and it was hot and it worked for both of us. There was a point where I got a lot of pleasure. I didn't quite come, but it felt bloody good. And then he kind of suffocated me with his armpits, which also worked for me. He would take a gulp of wine and slowly spit it into my mouth and then get close and stroke and kiss my face. I asked about the suffocating and he said he'd not done it before, but it felt right as we'd been getting so close. He said he wanted me to stick my tongue in his armpit. And then he said he had weird thoughts, like when I was doing the foot on head thing, he wanted me to wee on his face and for it to drip down my leg. Wow, I'm really not into that. He said he loved how wet my vagina was. I like that he calls it the vagina. Before I got my pleasure, I had given him a blowjob. It feels like the widest penis I've had. He asked what I prefer, length or girth, and I told him that all the penises I've had had been a good size. He then told me he once had sex with a sex worker, and she had this device that measured penises, and his fitted one of the widest holes. It got to 2 a.m. and we decided to go to sleep, but he said something lovely like it's so hard to sleep when this is so good, referring to me lying next to him. The light went off, and I stroked him whilst he touched me. It was lovely and intimate. Oh, and at one point, he said he wanted to put his whole fist in my mouth. Wednesday the 25th of July. Alarm went off at 6:30, and we had a snog and a fumble. We kissed by, and it felt like he hung in the doorway watching me leave. I was daydreaming all day, reliving moments from last night. I messaged at lunch and said shortest walk of shame home. It's hard to concentrate today. He replied saying, ha ha, I love how close you live. Yeah, last night, I'm on such a high. Saturday the 18th of July. Mine and Reggie's fifth date. Did an exercise session, and then did a bit of flat cleansing, cleaned outdoor windows and unblocked drains. I wore a tampon in the day as I find it soaks up the blood at a quicker pace than a sanitary towel. And then I was getting too dry, so I switched to a liner. I knocked on at 9:10, and he looked hot with his new tan against his white t-shirt. He said, what are we doing? So I suggested a few places for dinner, and we settled on the local Italian. He went for a wee with the bathroom door open and carried on chatting to me, and I was like, I'm not talking to you while you're having a wee. And he was generally confused as to why I wouldn't. I don't really know how to express why, but I guess it just felt too intimate or relaxed so early on. We walked down to Chatsworth Road, chatting about what we'd been doing. He starts the story and goes off on other mini stories and then comes back to the original one. It always amazes me how much some people can talk. He was quite protective over his new cream suede trainers, I guess in the same way I am over my flats, and the waiter stood on them, so he was a little distracted by the marks for some time. We had delicious pasta and he picked a nice wine. We paid up and went to the Elderfield and sat on the same sofa as last time, and he was gently stroking my knee, which felt lovely, that intimacy and touch you miss from being single. It just felt like he cared for me. I heard some stories from his clubbing days, and then we headed back to mine, and he put his arm around me as we walked, which I didn't think I would like, but it felt bloody amazing. And like Jack, I don't have the desire to hold his hand. In fact, the thought of it almost feels a bit weird. We got back to mine and started to get each other undressed. I said I was on the last day of my period, and he was like, I don't mind, I like it. And he talked about when you have a vagina you know well, and you have sex during the period. The vagina walls feel so different. He asked if I wanted to put a towel down, but it was the last day of my period, so there is so little blood. Plus, I don't like the idea of having sex on that texture. My towels are so rough. You'd only have to wash the towel in the same way you have to wash the bedsheets. He made me come. I asked what got him off, and he said he'd have to be gentle and go slow with his dick. I think I just need to get my head around the hand technique. I'd like to watch him masturbate. I gave him a blowjob and managed to get a whole ball in my mouth, which he seemed to like. As soon as his dick was close to my vagina, it was too hard not to let it in, despite the no condom, for fuck's sake. Now I feel stupid and irresponsible. Anyway, the sex was close and sweaty and it felt good and like I could come from penetration once we get to know each other better. Mainly him on top. I went on top once. I'm generally quite lazy with positions, but I feel like there are so many more to try. We spoke about how amazing skin on skin feels and I told him it had almost been a year for me. I think we were up till about 4 a.m. and then he came on my stomach and we were tired. Oh, but before that, he asked me to sit my wet vagina on his back and then his neck. The back was easy, the neck not so much. Oh, shit, and when I was on his back, I had this urge to kiss his bum and just really enjoyed burying my head in his ass and kissing around his rim. It was a different kind of sweaty smell with an intense aftertaste that felt like it could blind you. Sunday the 29th of July. We were awake at 8:30 till 11, with more sex and kissing, and there were a few times where he was like, right, I better go, and I was thinking, absolutely not, I am so turned on. And then I had the best orgasm. Not from sex, but against his leg whilst he stretched my mouth so far apart. So unexpected, but so hot. He got dressed and we agreed to see each other on Tuesday and Friday. I put the period-stained sheets in the wash, had breakfast, made lunch, wrote my diary, and then Rowan came over and we went for a quick drink and she was asking about Reggie. And I ended up talking about the few things I'm not sure about, rather than all the nice stuff. Also, I'm starting to feel anxious I had sex without a condom. When will I learn? Tuesday, the 31st July. It's the day of our sick date. Excited for the end of the day. Met Faith at the gym, worked on my back again as it's still not good. Then got food, showered and went to see Reggie. We chatted on the sofa and watched a Swedish film with subtitles. It was so nice sitting together, touching throughout. I felt very happy. We went to bed and he made me come again from oral and he came from a handjob. And then we heard his flatmates having sex and he said they were putting on a show for me. He's not heard them before. Wednesday, the 1st of August. Slept really well for our third night together. Had 5 minutes of kissing and then headed home to get ready for work. We had the work summer party. I was quite drunk. I had one too many and got rowdy and shouty and showy offy. And I did my informer by snow wrap on the coach home. Thursday, the 2nd of August. I'm cringing at my wrap. Friday, the 3rd of August, 7:30 p.m. Finish work at 3 o'clock. And I was excited about seeing Reggie. I was walking home thinking, I don't think either of us think the other one is amazing. Like in the way George thought I was amazing and how I thought Jack was amazing. But maybe with time it could turn into that. When I left him on Wednesday morning, he said see you at 7 on Friday. So I thought I'll just turn up at 7. But then I chickened out and messaged at 6 to ask if he was still good. And 15 minutes later he replied saying, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight. Are you free on Sunday for a chat? So I was like, oh, fuck. I didn't see this coming just yet. I don't feel too upset, more embarrassed and disappointed. I reply and say, wanna just call now? Thinking, I don't want to wait till Sunday to be told you don't want to see me again. He replied and said, I'm still at the studio. I'm a bit tripped out with sunstroke, making my way back shortly. Do you want to come over to mine or shall I phone you later? I said, let me know when you're home and I'll pop over. I'd rather chat today. It's weird, as he was always the one who instigated when to see each other again. And on Tuesday, it all seemed to be going well. Apart from when I said if I set the alarm early, it would allow time for morning kissing, and he didn't go for it. But in bed, we still did stuff. He was touching me as he went to sleep, and the kisses in the morning seemed genuine. 9 p.m. So, he just said come over. I stood back on his doorstep so not to kiss him, and that was his approach too. He invites me in. We sit in the kitchen. And he talked about work for a few minutes, and then said, I've got to be honest. I'm just not really feeling it. And followed it with, how do you feel? And I said, I was thinking earlier that I didn't think either of us were really into it, but I was willing to give it a go and let it develop. He said he was thinking he was quite happy on his own. I'm sure this was just to make me feel better. He said we'd had some fun in bed and he got to go to that nice Italian restaurant, which I thought was an odd highlight to pick out, but he was probably just searching his brain for something positive to say. Maybe it is down to how he feels and not me. I can't help but think it's because I'm not clever enough. I was like, cool, well, I'll see you around. And he said, yeah, sure, and if you ever fancy a pint in the Elderfield. He'd also said he didn't think it was fair on me to carry on, and I'm glad he called it early, rather than me get too into it. I was just having fun, and it was just so nice to have someone to do stuff with. My head keeps going to Jack. I just want to message and meet him, but I know that's a terrible idea. I'm in self-destruct mode. I went to get a pizza and I just felt so sad in there, surrounded by couples, fed up of being single on a Friday night and all the fun having been sucked away. As soon as I got home, I started crying. The loneliness, the misery of being 36 and single, the embarrassment, the rejection and thinking, at what point did he start to think that he wasn't feeling it? Or has that been really prominent from the start? Did I push Friday night on him when he'd already made his mind up? But of course, when you've only been dating for 3 weeks and on 6 dates, you don't owe anyone any answers, so you can't ask, but why aren't you feeling it? When did you start to not feel it? Why would you initiate this or that when you're not feeling it? Who knows? And you'd feel even more miserable hearing the answers. Saturday the 4th of August, the following day. Woke up feeling sad and took a bit of effort to get out of bed. I put on a playlist Cara had made, which helped. I cut back the ferns and read a poetry book, The Sun and Her Flowers, that Beth had bought me. Then I hung out with Beth, Ned and Leo at the pub. I got an ice cream, watched an episode of Love, did fake tan, played on the dating apps and listened to a podcast Grace had recommended on understanding relationships. I keep hearing Reggie say I'm just not feeling it, and I'm thinking, why? What was it? And I just want Jack. Friday the 26th of October, 3 months later. I saw Reggie post some of his work on Instagram, so it prompted me to think of him. And I thought I'd send a message as we're likely to see each other tomorrow at Flossie's event. So I said, hey, how are you? I think I'm coming to the party. Will you be there? It'd be nice to see you. I can't believe we've not crossed paths. He replied straight away saying, hey Liz, good to hear from you. I thought you might be coming. Be nice to see you and hear all about Japan. Saturday the 27th of October, the next day. Had a haircut, an osteo appointment, and then I hung at home until the evening. I headed to the party with Rowan and Mel, and after an hour or so I saw Reggie, so I went and said hi. We had a nice chat, and it was good to see him, catch up, and thankfully I no longer fancied him. I had carefully picked my outfit, knowing that I'd see him. A miniskirt, with heels, making sure my legs were out, as I remembered he said he was a leg guy, so obviously I wanted him to think, fuck, Liz looks hot. And luckily, with my new haircut, I did. Sunday, the 12th of May. 6 months later. I had a bit of a hangover, but pushed through and did a workout, and then Reggie came over to chat about some work stuff he's helping me with. He got comfy in the lounge and we ended up chatting for about an hour. It was really nice, actually. He told me about a girl he's been dating and how it's been a bit up and down and that she's just moved cities, and he's wondering if he should move too. And then he said he'd heard about my diary readings, spoken word nights, and how they were quite sexually explicit, and he was laughing a lot. I told him about the podcast too, and how there might be an episode about him. He took it really well. What a relief. He actually kind of looked a little bit excited that he might feature. At the end of each episode, I recommend a podcast that I've been enjoying. This week it's In Good Company with Otega Uragba. Otega interviews smart, successful and fascinating women about their working life, including Penny Martin, editor-in-chief of the beautiful women's magazine, The Gentlewoman. I loved hearing Penny talk through how the magazine had found its niche in the market, and more specifically, what is involved in the editorial process when it comes to selecting who would feature in each issue. You get a real insight into how the magazine comes together. There is an episode with Marjan Carlos, a journalist, public speaker, creative consultant and fashion icon. She talks about racism and diversity within the fashion industry and shares her story of how she adapted to freelance life. And I really enjoyed the episode with journalist Shirin Kali, who talks through her pivot into journalism, beginning at Vice, where she launched their renowned anti-stalking campaign, Unfollow Me, right through to her current role as features writer for The Guardian, where she is responsible for their flagship long-form series on COVID-19 deaths, Lost to the Virus. Each episode is inspiring, educational, and filled with practical advice for working women. Definitely give it a listen. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'd love to hear your feedback, so please do contact me on Instagram at Diary She Wrote. If you'd like to help out an independent podcast, please do subscribe, rate, and write a 2-minute review. And if you know anyone who would also enjoy the stories, please do tell them all about it. A friend recommendation is so helpful when it comes to supporting the podcast. For further details on characters and locations, please see the show notes. Diary She Wrote was produced in partnership with Birdline Media, with original music by Ethan Illingworth. And I can't believe I missed this off series 1 and 2, but the artwork was designed by the amazing Robbie Porter.